take our Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. And verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And of course, we know that means he died. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin bare shields and bow, drew bow, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And if you do the math, it's about 580,000. And in verse 9, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000. If you do the math, that's 1,000,000. And 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. So he had 580,000, they had 1,000,000. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephrathah and Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. By the way, it's a very simple prayer, but a good prayer. God, I know you can do this if you want to, and it's nothing for you to help us, even though we're almost 2-1 here. I know you can. And on the fact that Asa's heart was humble and he was wanting to be right with God, God heard him. And it says here in verse number 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of the cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. So they had a great victory, and God is the one who did it. Then chapter 15, verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. In those times there was no peace in him, to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. When Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord that same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And by the way, 1 Kings 15 says that he also got rid of the Sodomites as well. Chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with all their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king removed her from being queen. Oh, that gets kind of, it gets down to the nitty-gritty here. Not even Mama is allowed to remain and to do her dirty deeds. She's going to get cleaned up too, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. I think that these two chapters show Asa to be a very good man, especially after you've read about Abijah and also before him Rehoboam and Solomon and all the junk that was going on at that time. Asa was a good man. Ever since David, he was probably the best king they'd had. And Asa was in line to be as good as David. In fact, I think in a lot of ways, Asa did better than David. Asa never, as far as we know, committed adultery and then tried to commit murder to hide the adultery. He wasn't guilty of that, and King David was. However, there was a main difference between Asa and David that makes us not talk about Asa as much as we talk about David. And it's this, it's that as he got older, his heart changed. His heart changed. And I want to talk to you tonight about our heart. And I've read you some of those things, so we'll come back here to 2 Chronicles 16. But let's go look at a few other places, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, and then Psalm 119. Proverbs chapter 4, and then Psalm 119. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then Psalm 139, we looked at that just last week. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to pray that prayer that we just read. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to encourage you to understand something. God will always bless a right heart. God wants to bless a right heart. In fact, the Red Cliff Bible Camp that we've gone to sometimes talks about that verse. In fact, we're going to read it here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You remember reading that? If you ever go to a Red Cliff Bible Camp, they used to, until the lodge burned down, had a huge slab of wood with this routed in, this entire verse. And we would quote it before we would eat a meal. And as soon as the lodge is finished, they'll have it up there again. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Notice, it doesn't say any other part of our being than our heart. God will always bless a right heart. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that when Samuel was getting ready to anoint King David, Samuel thought for sure it was David's older brother that God would pick, and God said, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. And so God always blesses our heart. The eyes run to and fro looking to see whose heart is perfect toward him. Imagine David as a shepherd, and while he's just being a simple, humble shepherd that nobody knows anything about, God is running back and forth across the globe, looking around and saying, now that young man right there has got a right heart. I want to use him. Now here's the thing about Asa, and we got to notice this. In chapter 15, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, he went out to meet Asa, the preacher did, And it says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Kind of like answering the question earlier about being blind. If you want to find the Lord, you can find him. The problem is that many times we can't find the Lord the same way that a thief can't find a police officer. We don't want to. Okay? We just can't seem to get there. But notice what it says in chapter 15 about Asa, what it says in chapter 15 through 17. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found of them. It's amazing how when you seek him, you can find him. And the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. I think that's just a sign that it didn't matter if it was family or not. But notice verse 17. But the high places were not taken away. What's the high places? That's where they would offer sacrifices to false gods and idols. And apparently Asa forgot about them. He just didn't see them. The high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. So God, even though Asa didn't do it quite right, he didn't quite clean up everything, he forgot something, God still blessed Asa because he had a right what? He had a right heart. And as long as you have a right heart with God, it's not so important that you are perfect. Raise your hand if you're perfect. Exactly. Are you rubbing off on him or what? Alex now acts like Mr. Spear. I don't know. This is bad. Nobody's perfect. In fact, Janie quoted this verse this morning, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will hear me. You know, when we get saved, when you get saved, you don't have to get perfect first. Amen. But your heart has to be right with God. You have to have a heart that says, I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved. You have to have a heart that gets honest with God. In fact, we all could raise our hand and say, you know what? When I got saved, I found out afterwards how much still wasn't perfect. Still was messed up. But the heart wanted to be saved. And so God's not impressed with a right head if you have a wrong heart. Years ago, I heard this preached, and I love to repeat it every so often. A preacher preached this message, and that is right heads and wrong heads, right hearts and wrong hearts. You know, a lot of us, we start getting proud of the fact that we have a right head. But you know what really impresses God more than anything else? A right what? A right heart. You say, what do you mean by a right head? I don't mean a good-looking head. We'd all be in trouble. But a head that thinks right. And here's where we got to understand it. And going back to the question about the Pharisees. The Pharisees did everything just right. But they weren't right. They had all these rules, and they would wash their hands at certain times, and they would do this, and they would make sure that they were just Pharisees. Inside, their heart was rotten. And he told them so. See, God's not impressed with your thinking, even though you have good thinking. He's impressed with your heart. And so, understand, God always will bless a right heart, and he doesn't always bless a right head. I do think he wants us to think right. But he doesn't bless you just because you think right in your head if your heart isn't right. Just because you know stuff in your head doesn't mean your heart's right. So third point is this. A wrong heart will eventually cause a wrong head. All right? So let's look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Now, it's interesting how you can have a right heart and not know that you have a wrong head about things, that you're thinking wrong about some things. But you know what? If you have a right heart and God shows you some things in your life that should change. Just talking with a young man, I won't mention his name, but everybody knows who I'm talking about. A young man who recently got saved in our church. And he said, boy, there's just some things, and I just know God wants me to do this. And God, you know what? There's a heart that's right. And so now the thinking is getting changed, all right? And you know what? We got to remember, it's the heart that's got to be right. And the heart will change the mind, all right? It will help us to think right. And so It says here in Mark chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, when he had called the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, why is he telling them this? Because the Pharisees were teaching them all this stuff about, oh, if you don't wash your hands before you eat, oh, it's a terrible sin, terrible. Now, listen, I think there's a lot of hygiene, you know, that's, you know, good advice about washing. But you know what? Jesus was saying, these people focus on the outward. You're so worried about what goes in as if that's going to defile you. The truth is, the garbage that's already in is the problem, as he's going to show here in a minute. And so, verse 18, his disciples asked him, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive, verse 18, whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, but because it entereth not into the heart, but in the belly, and goeth out in the draught, and purgeth all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, and adulteries, and fornications, and murders, and thefts, and covetousness, and wickedness, and deceit, and lasciviousness, and evil eye, and blasphemy, and pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You see, if your heart's not right, pretty soon you're thinking wrong. Pretty soon you're sneaking around and you're watching stuff and looking at stuff when nobody else is watching, except for who? God sees it all. And pretty soon your heart, no matter how you can dress and act and look and be the Pharisee, your heart is deceitful and it's filled. And so what does God want us to have? A right heart so that we'll continue to have a right head. What happens is you have a wrong heart. And pretty soon you got stinking thinking. Just stinking thinking. And it starts with the heart. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27. Proverbs 21 and verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? God's not impressed with someone's sacrifice when their heart and their mind is wicked. Look at chapter 28, verse 9. Chapter 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You don't want to hear the truth of the scriptures? Your praying is a waste of time. Look at Ecclesiastes, just a few pages over from where you are. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. The fool thinks that by giving a sacrifice, God's impressed. The fool doesn't realize God knows what's in his heart. It doesn't matter what kind of an offering or sacrifice, it would be better for you to hear than to give. And so the sacrifice of the wicked do not impress God. We already read this already. Search me, O God, and know my heart. The Bible says that God is near and nigh to those that have a broken and contrite heart, a broken heart, a bruised heart, a humble heart that says, I need forgiveness, I need help. Now, I want to go back to where we were in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Because here's the end of the sad story. In chapter 14, Asa needed help. He had 580,000, and there was coming a million. And a million's almost twice as much as 580. And so he was really hurting. And so he's crying out to God in chapter 14, chapter 15. He's crying out to God in chapter 14. And he's saying, God, please help. I know you can help. And God does it. God wipes out the million-man army of the Ethiopians, and he takes care of the problem, and they have a great victory. And it's exciting. And then the preacher comes to him in chapter 15 and says, God wants you to know that if you'll follow him with all your heart, he will be with you. And he did. And for years, I mean for decades, for over 30 years, they obeyed God and they cleaned up the place. They got rid of the sodomites. They got rid of mama's idols. They got rid of everything that was wrong. They made it a law that you could only worship God. I mean, they were serious. And so after about 30 plus years, in chapter 16, verse 1, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and dwelt that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Now go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abimelech, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani the seer, a prophet sometimes was called a seer, because they could see things, the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. What was the problem? Well, he had a problem, but instead of praying, remember in chapter 14, he prayed. But in chapter 16, I don't need to pray. I can just go to the treasury house, and I can just get a bunch of stuff out of the treasury house, and I can pay the Syrian army to help me. I'll just pay for mercenaries to come and help me fight off this Baasha guy, and we'll get rid of him, and it's all fine, and it all seemed to be fine. I'll just take care of it myself. I don't need to pray. See, he used to be a small guy who needed God. Now he's a big guy who thought he didn't need God. That happens to a lot of us. And the preacher comes to him and says, Because you did this and you relied on the Syrian army instead of God, now you got a problem. Verse 8, Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, over a million, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And right then and there, right here, at the end of verse 9, just before verse 10, here's the difference between Asa and his great-grandfather David. Here's the difference right here. Right here, if it had been David, he would have said, I'm wrong. I shouldn't have done that. What can I do to make it right? How can I ask God for mercy and forgiveness so he'll cleanse me of this thing? But when your heart isn't right, see, for 30 plus years, 35 years, Asa, I mean, we've got it in the books. We worship God. I mean, we're doing everything right. For 35 years, I look good. But then all of a sudden, he has a test. And God allows us to have tests to prove some things to us. That's why we have tests. He has a test. It's not even a million man army, but he has a test and he flunks. And he relies on something else. He takes out of the treasury instead of doing what God wanted him to do. And so now, in verse 10, when the preacher tells him, you've done foolishly, use the word foolish. Ooh, how dare you tell me I'm a fool. Verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer. He was angry. Stinking thinking causes us to be self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency causes us to think lousy. And not only that, but now he's rebellious. He was mad. He was angry for the preacher telling him the truth and put him in prison. For he was enraged with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Some of the people that agreed with the preacher must have thrown them in too. Angry. But not only does stinking thinking cause you to be self-sufficient and you think lousy, and not only do you have a rebellious spirit, and you're evil and you're throwing good people into prison. But the other thing that it does is it causes a pride, and that pride causes stupid thinking. Because look at verse 11 and 12. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa in the 39th year, remember this was the 36 years when he had that test and he flunked. In the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. He got a disease in his feet, and it was painful. It was awful. I don't know if it was gory and oozy or what, but it was awful. It was a terrible disease. But the end of verse 12 says, Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. I am not going to ask God for help. That pride of not asking God for help a few years earlier now is so thick he can't ask God for help. I'm a king. I got physicians. I can pay them to help me. It's just interesting. It says he wouldn't ask God for help, but went to the physicians. His wrong heart changed his brain, changed his mind. His wrong heart caused him to start having some stinking thinking. You know what? God's perfect will is this, that we have a right heart and a right head. That our heart is, first of all, number one, is right, and number two, that we're thinking right. And that we know God's word and we think clearly, but it all starts with the heart being right. And don't ever be impressed. Listen to me. Don't ever be impressed with someone who knows stuff. Don't ever be impressed with someone who in their brain, they know all the right answers. That doesn't mean they have a right heart. Instead, always be impressed more with the heart than with the head. Proverbs chapter 4 again. Verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. But it all starts with your heart. And if your heart's right, it will determine your path. It will determine the direction of your life. And what's sad is that Asa never committed half the sins, I think, that David committed. But Asa died a lousy, horrible death. Probably stunk. He probably literally stunk. And people didn't even want to be around him. He couldn't get up. His feet were probably rotting. And he would not seek God for help. At one time, the same man begged God for help in that miracle battle. But now he would not seek God for help. There's a person whose heart got hard and whose thinking got stinking. Don't ever get there. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll stop here. Matthew chapter 7. We were talking about the wise man and the foolish man this morning. It says the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came and the floods came, the house on the rock stood firm, the house on the sand went smash, it just fell apart. Why? No foundation. And it's a picture of people who might have an even really nice looking house, but if they don't have it on a foundation, they're in trouble. It's a picture of someone who's foolish enough to be religious but not saved. I didn't say it this morning because I pretty much was out of time, but the foolish man says, I'll paint this upstairs beautiful, and I'll even put a picture of Jesus on the wall, and I'll even dedicate this room to Jesus. But if you don't have a foundation, it's all going to smash. There's a lot of people that are religious. There's a lot of people that mean well, but that doesn't mean they're saved. Look how it starts. Verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's hard for the religious person who is not saved to hear that second story and that third story and all that religious stuff that you've done and how beautiful your house looks means nothing if you don't have salvation. If you're not on a foundation, you're not going to make it. It doesn't matter what good works you did in his name, so to speak. If it wasn't on a foundation of salvation, it's a waste. And there's a lot of people that are dying and going to hell because their heart wasn't saved. Their brain knows a lot of stuff, but their heart wasn't saved. They said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do wonderful works in your name? And he said, I never knew you. Don't be impressed with the outward. Be careful. I keep saying this because it's so true. I don't want to, and I don't believe in, you know, superstition or jinx or whatever, but I don't want to cause problems for Brian, who's growing in the Lord. Because I don't want to overemphasize, oh, look at this guy. But you know what? It's so true. We get to the point where we just start carrying ourselves just right. Stephen's sitting back there. I don't think he minds if I use him as an illustration, but he grew up in church, right? But what age did you finally get saved? 27. If you ask Stephen Bible questions, I think he could answer most of them before 27. But that doesn't mean he's saved. Congratulations if you've got an education in your brain. That's good. That will help you if you're saved. Saul was a lousy, rotten guy. He was a Pharisee. He had a great education up here, but he had a wicked heart until he got saved. And then God could take Saul and turn him into the Apostle Paul and make something out of him. But you know how many people died without getting saved? They had a lot of knowledge. God is not as impressed with what's in your brain as what's in your heart. God wants to know if you have a right heart, an honest heart. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you're not right with God in your heart, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. I know all of us, and pastor is guilty of this too, we tend to praise and commend what we see. But we can't see your heart. Only God can. And only you and God know what that's like. Let's bow our heads for a moment.